Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends and family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in, watching, listening, sharing the podcast. Praise God. We're living in exciting times, and I'm excited to get to talk to new guests. It's a blessing to hear different people's perspectives, and some of the people I get to talk to, men and women of God, I am so fortunate. But I'm going to bring in another new guest today. Her name is Melissa Hooray. She's a Bible teacher, author, host of The Hope Report. You can get that link on YouTube. And she spent 12 years counseling struggling addicts as a licensed alcohol and drug counselor, and in 2018 became executive director of the Lindell Recovery Network. Now, I interviewed Mike Lindell once several years ago. I would love to get him on the podcast again sometime, but she's written two books. We'll talk a little bit about each one as we move through the podcast today. There's one right there, Radical Freedom. That's a devotional, which I'm going to let her explain. And then the other one is called Blackout to Blessing. And she's a native of Minnesota. Minnesota, as some would say, from our neck of the woods, currently living in Lakeville with her husband and daughters. Her website is Melissa Hooray, HURAY.com. So much to talk about with you today. Thanks for your time, sister. Good to see you.
Hi, David. It's so good to be with you. I'm happy we connected. These are always divine appointments. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've wanted to get you on for a while, but then I talked to Andy Woods, and that's all I needed to hear is he gave you two thumbs up. So, Melissa, let's talk a little bit about your background first and what your story, your brief testimony, and then what brought your books about. And we'll just go from there.
Well, you know, I've got the addiction background. And I think once the Lord frees you of something like that, he can move you into a greater purpose for your life. So about 15 years of my life was spent binge drinking. You know, a lot of teenagers get involved in that cycle of trying to fit in, trying to find identity. And even though I had found, you know, I had received Christ as a child at Vacation Bible School, as a lot of people do. But right after that, I just kind of descended into rebellion and following the ways of the world, trying to find meaning. My father was an alcoholic, so I didn't have a secure grounding in the home. I know that's not an unusual story to a lot of people, but it led me to try and find attachment from the world. This kind of went into a cycle of trying to find security in things that would never fulfill me. So I got married at a young age. I was 21. It was outside God's will. By the time I was 24, I was divorced with a toddler. So I had continued drinking, was a bartender, and trying to kind of juggle this life of being a parent and then having this party lifestyle. And there were cycles of trying to put my life together that never worked because they weren't grounded in God. But at some point, I went back to college. I got a degree. We're always looking at external things, thinking they're going to fix what's wrong inside of us. So I became a news reporter, David, in the city of Duluth, Minnesota, my hometown. Wow. And I thought I had hit the jackpot, you know, small town news anchor. I was a weekend anchor and reporter. And I really thought this was going to heal my identity problem. And over those years, I was juggling this secret life, really. I was on the air doing reports and hungover and sick and getting through the broadcast and going out drinking at night. And my biggest fear was that people were going to find out what I really was, that I wasn't this community representative. So to fast track the story, the Lord was pulling me back through all of that. The Holy Spirit was drawing me to himself, bringing conviction, bringing shame. Every time I drank, it was another shameful experience. And I didn't drink every day. That's another impression people often get of addicts is everyone's in the closet drinking vodka or, you know, at a crack house. It was very functional, I guess. It's never really functional, but I was faking it well to the world. And there came a point where I knew this couldn't go on. My father had passed away of liver failure, and I just decided I have to stop drinking. But the problem was I couldn't stop. Once I decided I needed to, it was impossible. This came to a breaking point on August 22nd, 2003. I came out of a 12-hour blackout after the Minnesota State Fair. I surrendered to the Holy Spirit. We look at all these things in the world to fix us. And I came to that point where there was nothing in the world that could help me. So I made a decision. Every addict has to make a decision. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't fix myself. And I said one small kind of weak prayer. I said, please don't ever let me drink again. So it'll be 23 years in August. The Lord freed me. He lifted that burden, and I never wanted to drink again.
Wow, that's amazing, actually. And it had to be God, right?
Yeah, I can't take any credit for it because I had tried, AA, outpatient treatment, medications, therapists, and they would work for a while. You have that initial, okay, I'm doing this thing, and then something would happen and I'd drink again. I mean, that's the message I want to get across is that nothing could have saved me but surrender, making the decision to surrender.
So, Melissa, how did you get connected to the Lindell Recovery Network?
Well, I had been in the news business for a long time. That station I was at closed. And at that point, I think the Lord kind of prepares us for the next thing. I had become disillusioned by the whole revolving door. I'm doing these same stories again, Grandma's Marathon, the Dragon Boat Festival, these stories that come up year after year. And it was fun for a while, but I just started to tire of it. And I had been sober a couple of years at that point. I felt the Lord was leading me to help other addicts come out of addiction or former addicts in the case of myself. So I went back to school, got the addiction counseling license, did that for 12 years. Toward the end, I became very disillusioned. Again, I was seeing 55 people a week. I was very burnt out. I didn't want to do anything rash or impulsive. I was seeking God. And one day I was at the mall and I saw the cutout of Mike Lindell by the pillow store. And I'm not the first person to say this, but I noticed how he would wear his cross, purposely hanging out of his dress shirt, his trademark blue dress shirt. There's the LindellRecoveryNetwork.org. Thanks for pulling that up. This is a platform of resources we put together. But I saw Mike Lindell that day and I all of a sudden, I knew who he was. Of course, everyone in Minnesota knows him. He's, and the My Pillow guy. He's become much more since then. But I started searching up his name, why does he wear his cross outside his shirt? Found out he was a former crack addict. And I was just astounded by this news. I said, Mike Lindell was a crack addict? So I started going back to my treatment group and telling them, you guys got to go apply at My Pillow. He hires addicts, he hires felons. You can get a living wage job there. So I was doing PR for Mike before I even worked for him, is how I like to say it. And I got something in my heart that I wanted to work for him. I didn't know why, I didn't know how, I didn't know what that would look like. But I kept praying about it. I ended up sending in it's a long story, but I sent in a job application. Nothing ever happened. Finally, they called me in for an interview at the pillow store. My husband thought this was crazy. He said, you're already stressed out. You're working 50 hours a week, and now you're going to go work at the pillow store on the weekends? And I'm like, I just want to get my foot in the door. I don't know. So I went to the interview, and the lady looked at my resume. She's like, oh, you're an addiction counselor. Kind of like, why are you applying for this job? She said, Mike's doing some kind of thing for addicts. I don't know anything about it, but I'll pass your name along, And I didn't think they'd contact me, but they did. So you'll love this part of the story. I went in for the interview. I was all nervous. Okay, I'm going to meet Mike Lindell. I had all my portfolio of stuff. And he goes and scrawls on a whiteboard. He writes all this stuff with his vision for the platform of the website you just pulled up. He got all done with that. And he said, well, I want to hire you. And I was like, oh, you do? I mean, do you want to interview me? Do you want to ask me anything? This is just so, classically Mike. And he said, no, this is a divine appointment. I knew you were the one who's going to help me put together this resource. I mean, I thought it was crazy at first. I thought, is this really happening? Because I've been working at a clinic for 8 years. I had a really stable job, even though I was burnt out. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go work for Mike Lindell. It's been over 7 years. It's been the best job I've had because he has let me lead my position by the Holy Spirit. He literally told me that. I want you to pray about what God wants you to do. At first, it was counseling people at My Pillow, building this resource we have. And then 5 years ago, it became the Hope Report. He was going to start this platform, Frank Speech. It's now Lindell TV. But he said, one of these days, I'm going to have a show. I'm going to call it the Hope Report. And it's just going to be good news. He would say that around the office. And I thought, well, that was not going to involve me. So what is amazing about that is that I had let the broadcasting dream kind of pass away. I said, oh, I'm too old. I'm not going back to a newsroom. That's crazy. The press pools and all that stuff, I don't want any of that. And he one day said to me, hey, Melissa, I didn't know you were a news reporter. I was like, well, yeah, I was years ago. And he said, well, I want you to do this show. I've been hearing some things about your skills or whatnot. So we started the Hope Report in April of 2021, and it will be
Wow.
5 years next month. Yeah.
Wow. Praise God. What a
I
great
know.
story. And I know you
Thank you.
condensed that greatly for us, but
Well,
I want
thank
to
you for
direct people.
listening.
Sure. You've got over, looks like over 1,200 videos at Hope, The Hope Report on YouTube. You do a lot of work. Love all your conversations with Andy Woods. Love him. And by the
Thank
way, that's
you.
our mutual friend, guys and gals, Melissa's and mine. I love Andy. And by the way, speaking of, you are currently taking classes at Chafer Seminary and working toward a degree in systematic theology. Tell us about that.
Well, as I said at the beginning, I think the Lord frees us of the bondage of addiction once we are willing to surrender. We're willing to make that decision. I'm done doing it my way. I've tried all of that. I've always failed. And once I was done with that desperate desire to try to make drinking work, I knew it was never going to work. He led me through the addiction counseling, led me to Mike Lindell, and then he started expanding my vision. And this could not have happened without him. I had no interest in Israel. I mean, I'm kind of embarrassed to say that. I live in Minnesota. I just thought that was a distant, far-off country in the Middle East, raised in a Reformed church. We didn't hear about prophecy, not the rapture. That was crazy talk. But somewhere along the way, I ran into some Calvinists, and they were bringing their eschatology in front of me and telling me why everything happened in 70 AD and Reformed theology, God's done with Israel. And I thought, I need to investigate this for myself, which brought me into a study of the Bible, two chronological reads through the Bible out loud on a live stream. You will find those on the Hope Report. They're probably not super engaging for people to listen to, but I did it to hold myself accountable. And God kept putting the right people in my path. Pastor Shahram Haidian, former Muslim, taught me about the Abrahamic covenant, taught me that it's irrevocable, unconditional, everlasting. It's a thread that runs through the entire Bible. Once I understood the covenants, then he put Andy Woods in my path about maybe a year and a half ago. I began to consume his teachings. I just couldn't get enough of it. I went through all 84 of the Coming Kingdom series, and Andy's like, I don't know. I've never seen anybody really kind of take this material and run with it. But he became such a fantastic friend and teacher. And another divine appointment, he just said one day, hey, Melissa, I'd like you to come to the conference, the ProfCon conference. And this was, his fifth annual with Chafer Seminary and ProfCon, and he's the president of Chafer, of course. So along the way, I started taking some classes. I forgot to mention that. But being at this conference, I'm sitting at a table with Olivier Melnyk, Dr. Paul Wilkinson, Andy, and I'm not saying this to, oh, this is so great, but it's like only God would put me here. There is no way I should be here. I'm like the only female at this conference. And I wasn't, speaking from the stage, but he invited me to do an interview with him and also be part of the Q&A panel. So he has helped open doors, like the door with you. So I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, he's amazing. And by the way, I totally relate to what you're saying. I was speaking at these prophecy conferences for several years, and I'm not a prophecy guy. I'm more of a culture, biblical worldview. And yet God opened up these doors, and I was speaking. And just with the speakers that were there, I'm looking at these names, looking at these men of God, many of whom were pastors for decades. I'm going, boy, like, one of these things is not like the other. How do I fit in here? But yet
I've said the
God,
exact thing, yeah.
God worked that in, and praise him for it. It helps us learn more and sharpen our what God wants us to do. The Middle East Meltdown, that's one of Andy's books, and we've talked about that, Andy and I, for years. I don't remember when I started interviewing him. Maybe it's going on 8 years now on a different platform on a radio talk show, but here he's on monthly. I just love the Middle East Meltdown because it just talks about the details biblically from this coalition of nations that are coming against Israel. Surprise, surprise. And it's very, here we are today, and I'm thinking, man, things are coming to life. Could you speak to that for a moment? Because I know you love that book as well.
I do love it. So I taught through The Coming Kingdom. That was 20 weeks. It's all on the YouTube channel. And then after that, I thought, next, I'm going to get into the Middle East meltdown. So I'm doing this Sunday nights on Lindell TV. We're in the last chapter this week. But David, you look at the world and you see what Ezekiel had prophesied 2,600 years ago coming together right now. I'm talking about this 10-nation coalition, everything that's going on with Iran and possible expansion of the Abraham Accords, Saudi Arabia being a lame participant in this future war, but we're making those alliances and the nations are coming together. And Abraham Accords, much of the world looks at this as a good thing, but this is a spiritual tie with Islamic countries. And maybe foreign policy wise, it looks good, and deal making wise, it looks good. But those of us who are studying the Bible prophetically know that all we can do at best is kick the can down the road. And eventually, prophecy is going to play out as exactly as the Bible foretells, but it gives us such a sense of hope seeing prophecy fulfilled. It's one of the greatest lights in the darkness for us as Christians that we don't have to fear this world. You look at it, and you're like, it's going to hell in a handbasket. The kingdom is not here in any way, shape, or form. But looking at prophecy, we have that stability, knowing the Lord keeps his promises, like with Israel. He doesn't break covenants. He doesn't break his promises to the church either. So getting into prophecy has helped strengthen my faith, and I'm grateful every day that the Lord put this in my heart. And I couldn't have done it myself. Same as with the freedom from addiction. He gave me a love for Israel. He enabled me to see his heart for his lost people. I mean, lost people too, Islam, atheists, whoever they may be, but the special relationship he has with Israel, that covenant relationship that he will never break, that gives us
Amen.
security as Gentiles too. We know he's never going to break his promises to us.
Amen. Everlasting covenants. And we can take God at his word, friends, for us, what the word says. But prophecy, let's just talk about Bible prophecy for a minute or two. Between one third and one quarter of the Bible, estimates are closer to one third maybe of the Bible. That's a lot of scripture. And how many fulfilled prophecies? What other religion or religious system can boast 100% accuracy with fulfilled prophecies? Jesus fulfilling hundreds already before he returns in his first, when he was first here. Just astounding. And yet people overlook that, don't they, Melissa?
Yes, they do. And it's sad to see pastors today. So many won't even touch prophecy. They won't touch the book of Revelation. I was in a church that taught the first few chapters, the seven letters to the seven churches, but completely skipped everything else. How can you throw out, over a quarter of the Bible? And you're right, what you say, it is such hope for us seeing the Lord keep his promises. And Israel, I mean, there are unfulfilled promises to Israel. If we say the church has taken those over, we're just dismissing a large portion of this covenant. No land promise, no Jesus reigning on the Davidic throne, no blessing. Israel's going to bless the entire world. So we can't cancel prophecy. We need to apply a consistent hermeneutic to the Bible. It's something I learned from Andy Woods, literally, consistently, historically, contextually, consistently through the Bible. That includes prophecy. So we don't just pick and choose what to allegorize and what we want to take literally and apply our own worldview to the Bible. We have to let it speak for itself, and let if we're open to that, we're going to get a we're going to strengthen our relationship with the Lord, because as you said, he shows, he proves time and time again, he always keeps his promises. He never fails. He's the one constant that we have, and trusting prophecy that helps us in our faith. We are doing people a massive disservice if we are not helping them. And as you said, prophecy is such a, it's proof that the Bible is true, along with the eyewitness accounts and all the archaeological discoveries. Prophecy is one of the most important predictors of what's going to happen in the future.
I want to do more podcasts on archaeology. That's just something that is almost completely overlooked. And if you think about every time they dig something up over
I
there in the
know.
Middle East or in that, area, it either confirms or just, well, it confirms what was written in the scripture, pretty much the Old Testament and sometimes the New Testament too. Either a people, places, or events in history, and it just confirms the truth and accuracy of scripture. But I don't know. I don't know. I think there's too much proof, and people just kind of go, yeah, you know what? I'd rather just live my own life. But Melissa, before we go on, in a minute, I'm going to pull up a video I found on your website where Mike Huckabee, a year ago, I think it was, interviewed you. Since we're name dropping, you know, Andy Woods, Mike Lindell.
All the people at the table.
Yeah,
Yeah.
before we do that though, I want to mention our conference coming up. You said before you got on the podcast, you hope you can make it over to Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Friends, I forgot to do this at the beginning of the show today. Just want to mention the Worldview Matters Conference one more time. Well, not one more time. We'll be doing it probably every day until the conference, but it's worldviewmattersconference.com. That's the website. And our latest sponsor is Alpha Omega Gold. We're so thankful to have Christian businesses and ministries that are sponsoring. There's all the speakers I'm hosting, and then there's 11 speakers, and we're continuing to add to this sponsor list, this group of great people and businesses and ministries. So thank you guys so very much. To be continued. So worldviewmattersconference.com. So Melissa, Mike Huckabee interviewed you. And now he's over in Israel, right? Interesting. It was called Radical Freedom, Addiction to Redemption. And that was on Huckabee Today. Which is, what was that like? I know that your conversation was about your testimony, but my goodness, talking with Mike Huckabee, what a blessing. There he is.
Wow, I look kind of pale there. Yeah, it was incredible. With this devotional, I had a great PR team. They got me 50 interviews, and a lot of them were radio, some TV. Let's see, Fox 5 in DC, Janet Paschal. There were some bigger names in there. 100 Huntley Street flew me to Toronto. That it was for like a 15-minute interview. And then I stayed overnight and I came home. But Mike Huckabee was my favorite, and I was so looking forward to sitting down with him because the first words out of my mouth were, "Ambassador, I want to congratulate you about your appointment as ambassador of Israel." And I said, "I myself am a proud biblical Zionist supporter of Israel." And I think I was shaking and my hands were sweating, but once we got through that, he was so wonderful. He was so calm and just peaceful, and he was very interested in the story, very engaged, and I loved my time with him. It was
Awesome.
definitely a highlight of all the interviews I did.
Awesome. So speaking of the devotional, let's talk about that. Let's go back to Radical Freedom, Breaking the Chains of Addiction for Good. And this is Daily Strength for Recovery. Came out a couple years ago. Tell us about that.
So just to kind of preface it, I had written this memoir, Blackout to Blessing, kind of outside God's will. I tried to make things happen. I got in with a publisher that was sort of the first one that came along. I didn't really do a lot of investigation. I'm still very proud of the book. It's the story of just my whole life and leading to survival, leading through survival and then eventual redemption. And I was a blackout binge drinker. But now, I don't think we always need to be leading with the addiction. Once we've been set free, in the world, you'll hear you have a disease, you're only one drink away from a drunk, you only have a daily reprieve. I believe we can be completely freed in Jesus and that he can deliver us from that. And we can put it in the past and move on with him. So I'm tired of leading with the addiction. I want to step into what the Lord is doing next. And I hope other people struggling can know that. Maybe the world has told you're hopeless, you're going to have this forever. Well, that's not true. So after that book came out, I sort of settled down for a while. And then this other publisher approached me. I think it's always better when we let things come to us instead of trying to kick down doors. And this is Broad Street Press. They're here in Minnesota, great publisher. They do a lot of big names. I won't name drop. But so they approached me and said, "Hey, we think you would be a great one to write a devotional on addiction recovery. We don't have anything like that." So I sat down, I prayed, and the Holy Spirit began to bring to mind different memories of things that had happened in my life, not only drug or not drug, but alcohol related, but identity problems, a crisis I had in my marriage, struggles with food, struggles with idols, struggle. So I think this appeals to a lot of people, not only those who have dealt with chemical or behavioral addictions, but it was more of the what happened after, what happened in the last 20 years of the Lord leading me, the sanctification journey and how he has helped me with that.
Yes. Yeah, and we don't hear that word enough. I think sanctification, it is a process that, Lord willing, every Christian goes through to some degree. It just being separate from the world, but also God working out His reshaping us, refining us, molding us into his image. And speak more about that, Melissa, because I think it blesses a lot of people to know we're all in different paths, but this sanctification is a work of God and it is a process.
Well, thank you. Going back to me being a young child receiving Christ, I heard the simple gospel. I was at Bible school kneeling in a circle, and I knew John 3:16. I believed that Jesus had died for my sins. I wanted eternal life with him. And I received him, but then I went off into rebellion, and the Reformed camp or Calvinists would say, oh, you weren't really saved. You didn't really believe. And I used to allow myself to be brought under guilt and condemnation about that because I had strayed so far. I had gone off into rebellion and been a prodigal, but the Holy Spirit never left me. I had been sealed by the Holy Spirit at the moment of belief. That's justification. I was rendered righteous in that moment. And then once I surrendered to my addiction, the Lord began to take me through that process of sanctification, which is lifelong, as you know, David. So we don't lose our salvation. Once we trust him, we are sealed. And then he begins to work in us, all those character defects, those life issues, those life-controlling things. So that's a lifelong journey. But I think we have so much security in knowing he never leaves us or forsakes us.
Amen. Amen. Friends, be encouraged. And I encourage you, you can go to melissahurray.com. And you'll see the links for the book, especially that one right there. Or you can go to Radical Freedom on Amazon and order it directly from Amazon. In fact, I think your website links to the Amazon page. So we encourage you to check that out. Melissa, less than 2 minutes. Any closing thoughts on whatever Israel, Bible prophecy, biblical worldview, whatever you'd like to share? What's on your heart to leave with our audience?
I'm just, you know, I'm noticing how, especially with the state of the world, you mentioned Ezekiel 38, the world is clamoring for security, and it's so easy to be drawn away into, I'm guilty of it too, into social media, into the news cycle, into podcasters listening to that. The only way we're going to make it is through discernment, is through wisdom and discernment that comes only from the Holy Spirit. So I would say to anyone listening today, if you have not received Jesus, we believe the rapture is imminent. He is coming soon. Maybe the world has told you you need to clean yourself up. You need to get right. Then you can come to God. That is a lie. All you have to do is repent of your unbelief. You repent of whatever you've been trusting in. Put your trust in Christ. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. You are rapture ready. That is the most important thing that you need to do today. Have a revelation of who Jesus is. Then he will help you with whatever comes your way. John 16:33, take heart. I have overcome the world. Nothing in this world will ever take you from the Father's hand. That's the greatest assurance and the greatest hope I can give you today.
Thank you, Melissa. Great scripture. In this world, we will have trouble, but Jesus said, take heart. I have overcome the world. Before that, he said, in me, you will have peace. Not in these other things that we might be striving for. But anyway, Lord willing, we will do this again. Thanks for your time today. God bless you.
Thank you.
Friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. See you next time.